WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. An Illinois jury has convicted a former sheriff's deputy of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey, a black woman who called 911 for help. Sean Grayson's attorneys had argued he feared she would harm him with a pan of hot water she was handling. Reporter Brandon Morano was in the courtroom when the verdict came down.
He was sitting quietly when the verdict was read, did not move, didn't really react to it. His family, after it was read, could be heard sobbing right behind us. We were sitting right in front of them. Massey's family could be seen putting their heads in their hands and consoling each other.
He had been charged with first-degree murder. CBS's Anna Schechter believes the jury was convinced he felt threatened.
Second-degree murder charges, why is that important? Sentencing guidelines are completely different. He could face up to 20 years in prison instead of up to life in prison, 45 to life.
The Federal Reserve cut a key interest rate today, and for a short time, investors on Wall Street cheered. But then the Fed chair spoke. Kelly O'Grady was listening in.
Something that stuck out to me, and clearly stuck out to investors too, is when Powell uttered this phrase, a further reduction in the policy rate at the December meeting is not a foregone conclusion, far from it. So what he's saying is that interest rate cut that everyone was expecting after the Fed released its projections at the last meeting is not for sure.
And stocks finished mixed. In Jamaica, the cleanup is underway after Hurricane Melissa. CBS's Jason Allen has been surveying the damage.
Video from above the fishing village of Alligator Pond shows massive destruction. And on the ground,
a roof has gone, clothes has wet up. I need some help. Please, I need some help.
Power lines are down across Jamaica, roads covered in mud and water, and homes damaged or destroyed.
Israel says the ceasefire in Gaza is back on after it launched deadly airstrikes. Elizabeth Palmer reports.
For the moment, the ceasefire is apparently back in effect and holding, which is very good news, although I think anybody would admit it's pretty fragile.
An internet pioneer has been sold for a reported $1.5 billion. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
Many of us think of AOL as this older company tied to a bygone era of the internet. But in fact, it's still around, offering stuff like identity theft protection and what they say is email without as many ads.
A company called Bending Spoons says it will buy AOL from Yahoo, subject to regulatory approval. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WCFW and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a win at home, 121-111 over the New York Knicks. Another big night for Giannis Antetokounmpo, leading with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. NFL, the Packers and the Steelers game drew 28 million viewers, one of the highest rated games in the history of Sunday Night Football. So what did it mean for Jordan Love to have such a strong performance against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's pretty meaningful. I think that speaks also to the respect that we have for a guy like Aaron Rodgers and the guys that were here and were able to witness and see how he would perform, not only on the Sundays, but also in practice and all that. But yeah, Jordan's shown a ton of growth. We have a ton of confidence in him. And I thought he played a complete game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WCFW in the app and the news comes to you.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight, a low in the low 30s. A mostly cloudy day ahead for tomorrow, a high right around 50. Maybe a sprinkle or shower Friday, more clouds, highs upper 40s. Cooler temps again on Saturday, warming up for Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we're doing this. It's Wednesday night in beautiful downtown Green Bay, speaking out to the entire state, which is always fun, especially as we lead up to Halloween. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you had a great day. Wherever you're joining us from, welcome, welcome. Please be part of the show. Great guest tonight. A fun question. And Conrad Krieger, working the board. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing very well, thank you. I got parking on the street tonight because I was cutting it a little. Well, I got here about 20 to 6, but it was a little closer than I like to cut it. But and I was 2 minutes short of 6 o'clock because they can ticket you after 6 o'clock here in downtown Green, or before 6 o'clock, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had enough money, enough loose change in my car to take me to 557. So if I go out there and I have a ticket, I'm going to raise civic hell. We'll see.
Isn't that the best, though, when you find some loose change? You're like, this will come handy.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny is, like, nobody out there, all the spots, like, all the meters have the red light blinking.
Well, now you just gave them a tip, all right?
I guess I just alerted the police. Everyone's taking advantage of...
It's past six. I'm just kidding.
I know, but listen, if you're trying to meet a quota and you're a cop, there's four right there. Nobody paid. So... I don't know. I'm just trying to be a good citizen. So there you go. We've got a great show tonight, folks. Two great guests, as usual. I can't remember the last time we had a bad guest. Have we ever had a bad guest, Conrad?
No, definitely not.
You know, there are some that are more entertaining than others. If they're interesting, funny, or just nice people, it's fun.
Everyone has their own story.
Everyone has their own story. Well said. John Roach will be here at 6:35 tonight. Speaking of great guests, he made a documentary called A Road at Night. It's really, really good. It's about Howard Moore and his family. Howard was a UW-Madison basketball player. He played his high school ball in Chicago, came up to Madison, fell in love with Madison, met a girl from Madison. They had a family. And there was a tragedy, a car wreck involving a drunk driver, and which altered the Moore family's, all of their lives. And we'll talk about that with John at 6:35. His documentary is so good. It will make you fall in love with Madison and UW basketball and the Moore family. It's just a heartwarming, beautiful story. And it's going to be playing at the Driftless Film Festival. Probably, I think it's November 6th, but we'll talk to John about that. And then at 7:20, sticking with the spirit of Halloween, our pal from Door County Trolley, Carl Sarecki, will be here. Carl was here last year, told us some great stories about the trolley and the tour they take with the ghost stories. And you know what kind of surprised me about that is he did not really hold back. He said there's some creepy stuff that happens, even during the tour, occasionally. So my wife and I were thinking about going there this weekend, and I wonder if...
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I've never been... I don't think I've been all the way up to the point by Ellison Bay where you can look out to Washington Island.
You know, I was there for a brief moment.
Yeah. Recently,
but,
right?
Yeah, but it was cool just to see, like, the edge of the thumb.
Yeah. And that's... I might have been there. I just can't remember. But I know I've been countless times to Sister Bay, but I don't know that I've been up to Ellison Bay, maybe once or twice, but I don't know that I ever saw the actual tip of the thumb. So we might do that. We'll see. But Carl will be here at 7:20 telling some spooky trolley stories. You know, he's a history teacher by day.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Then he runs into a phone booth and puts on the trolley director outfit.
You know, I thought of being a history teacher in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
But then I went for finance.
So you were going to be a history teacher, you went for finance, and now you're producing radio. Oh, okay.
You know, I went for finance for like, you know, two semesters, and I was like, this sucks.
Listen, that's where the money is, if you can deal with it, but I was the same way. I remember going through that phase where I was like, oh, I should be responsible and go into business. And I'm like, I don't know the first thing about business. I'm not even really interested in it. Why would I do that, you know?
You know, I got a rude awakening when I took accounting in high school, and I got A's in both of the accounting classes I did.
Wow.
And you, like the last level of it in high school too. So I went into college thinking, this will be a breeze. And I took one accounting class, fell way behind. I was like, this is not for me. This is not for me.
Is it too late to drop a class? I was like that in high school. I took an accounting class and it was like debit, credit, that should be it. You got more than you spend more than you got. What else is there? But oh my God, there's a ton of stuff. And after about 3 days, I just completely spaced out. I probably got like a D+ in the class because the teacher thought I was funny. But it's terrible. I'm not good at that stuff. But so anyway, John Roach, Carl Sarecki, two great guests. And we have a question we should probably get to because I think it's a fun Halloween question. So let's get to the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question. Questions. This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, we got a good one, folks. A good one in the spirit of Halloween. Tonight's question is, what is the perfect Halloween double feature? You're in for the night. It's raining, maybe windy, stormy. Kids are done trick-or-treating, grandkids, whatever. What's the Halloween double feature? It's on a Friday this year, so it's a great night to kick back, make some popcorn, and watch two scary movies. What is your Halloween double feature? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can drop us a comment on the app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, download it, please. It's very easy to use, and it's great. You can take it with you. Or if you're watching the radio on Facebook, X, or YouTube, drop us a stream comment. And if you're watching on Facebook or X, give us a like and or a follow if you're so inclined. I got to be honest. I'm still thinking about this. So why don't you go? I really can't. I'm not a big scary movie guy, but I'm kind of having trouble figuring out what my second movie should be.
You know, I'm not a huge horror fan either, but I like when they combine it with comedy.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why I picked A Haunted House. That's with Marlon Wayans. And A Haunted House 2.
Oh, my God. I've never even heard of those.
It's so funny. And they basically parody, in the first one, it's Paranormal Activity, they parody.
Yeah.
And in the second one, it's like a mixture. They do, you know, the doll Annabelle?
Yeah.
They do a parody of that.
Those are movies, right?
Yeah. They do the parody of the second one. So
it's got to be. I mean, if the Wayans brothers are involved, I would think it's a parody.
It's hilarious.
Sometimes I find those guys funny, and sometimes I'm like, next.
Yeah, they have some great actors in it too. In the second one, Gabriel Iglesias shows up. I know you love Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yeah. The comedian.
Yeah.
I was thinking Julio's kid, Enrique. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, I got nothing against Gabriel Iglesias. I just couldn't follow him. It was a defining moment in my comedy career. All right, those are two, and that was easy, same franchise. And I just figured out what my second movie will be. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start off with Rear Window, which is not a horror film, but it's scary. There's a murder. It all takes place in New York City where Jimmy Stewart can look out and see the other apartments and he sees what he thinks is a terrible crime. Great movie, one of my all-time faves. And then I would segue into The Shining, which is a bona fide horror film.
Yeah.
So those are my two. That's my double feature. Conrad's got his double feature. What is your Halloween double feature? That is tonight's question of the night. Let us know. Be part of the show, folks. Always more fun when you guys participate. I will say I finished the movie. I think I mentioned this the other day, A House of Dynamite. It's Catherine Bigelow directed. She's a very good director, great action director. And it was good. It was like a nonlinear telling of a nuclear warhead headed to America. And they pick it up and they're trying to figure out if they should retaliate. They don't really know where it's from. So therein lies kind of the conflict for the president, played by Idris Elba. And I liked that. He was portrayed as very human. Like, what do I do? They don't know who launched it. And there are people telling him, just nuke all your enemies. So there's like a moral dilemma. And he wasn't that typical macho movie president. He was like really conflicted. Like, what would I do? And what would you do? You got your enemies saying they didn't send it. They deny it. I think the first city that went was Cleveland. Another one was headed right for Chicago. Like, cities would be obliterated. What do you do in response? So it was interesting, and it ended very ambiguously. Like, they don't really give you a finite ending of what happened. But I think it's supposed to just ask a question. But I did like it. It moved. Got pretty good reviews. I didn't love it, but I was entertained. So there you go. If you're watching something, share that with us as well, folks. Also, I want to tell you, if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to Civic Media Today. It's a brand new daily newsletter, and it has all the Civic Media content delivered right to your inbox every weekday, connecting you to all the news stories, podcast feeds, YouTube live streams, other favorite shows, and more. I do Hollywood Beats every day. A lot of times there's a column that will be included in that as well. So definitely check out Civic Media Today. Great way to stay informed. And go to civicmedia.us for more information. So where are you going, Conrad? You're gone tomorrow. You're leaving on the eve of Halloween. What gives?
Yeah, I got a pretty early flight.
You got a fight before you hit the road? Who are you fighting?
At 9:30. That's okay. My flight time. So actually, it's pretty nice.
It's not too bad.
And it's only like I get an hour to Chicago from Appleton and then Chicago to Tennessee. So it's not total travel time is 5 hours with the
layover.
The layover, thank you. Yeah, so I'm going to Tennessee to see one of my best friends get married.
Well done. Are you in the party? Are you in the wedding party? Okay.
Yep.
Best man?
Not best man. His brother is, but okay. I'm up there.
There is no shame in losing best man status to a relative, right?
Yeah.
Have you been to Tennessee?
Yeah, actually, where we're going is Gatlinburg.
Okay.
And I went there when I was 10, somewhere around that age. I went to Gatlinburg, stayed at this kind of cool resort when I was younger. And it's such a cool area because there's mountains, everywhere.
Oh yeah, it's a very beautiful state.
And one of the main things is there was a huge attraction there, I think. I don't know if it's still there or not, but you go all the way up this like gondola kind of thing. And it goes all the way up and it's at the top of a mountain.
Okay.
And it's really cool. Yeah. So Gatlinburg.
That is cool. I think at some point on the show, I talked about when I flew there because I was in a movie. I had a small part in a movie. So I flew to Tennessee. The taxi driver picked me up, and he took me to my hotel. It was like a 45-minute drive. And he was telling me the story about a city. I can't remember the name of the city, but it had nuclear issues.
That's always nice to hear.
Yeah, and he goes, well, I'm not going to bore you with the whole story. There's this long pause, and he goes, but basically, he went into this long story. But every time he mentioned a Tennessee city, he mentioned Gatlinburg. Is it Gatlinburg?
Yeah.
I go, is that the home of the Gatlin brothers? He goes, he just looks at me, he goes, no. And then there was like another city that was like, Oak Ridge it was. That's the nuclear city.
Oh, okay.
And I said, is that where the Oak Ridge boys are from? He goes, no. I was just trying to connect. Like, I thought this is where these bands got their name, and he totally, I don't know. He didn't like me, Conrad. I'm just trying to connect.
Did you tip him at least?
Probably. All right, we're coming right back to read your text. Our question of the night, what's your Halloween double feature? It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to cry, cry, cry alone.
When you feel it blue, I'm waiting to talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Man. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. So fun on a Wednesday, major holiday right around the corner, folks. There is a there's a nip in the air and some creepy winds blowing. Halloween is right around the corner. Our question of the night is, what is your Halloween double feature? I said Rear Window, which isn't a horror film, but it's, you know, it's scary. It's involves a murder. And then I went with The Shining, which just is beyond creepy to me. And not even the parts of The Shining that scare me the most are not even like the over the top or overt scary scenes, like where he's got the axe, or it's just the stuff like where he's in the men's room talking about to the attendant and you can hear the party that doesn't even exist in the background. So many creepy things like that. And Nicholson's just creepy. Even when he takes the gig and he's talking to the hotel manager, He's just a creepy guy. Conrad said, I've already forgotten.
A haunted house.
The Wayans Brothers franchise.
A haunted house and then a haunted house too.
Okay. So what's yours? What did you say Rich Tallarico posted?
I saw it on Facebook.
I love Rich's
post. He said he ordered no-show socks and they never came.
Oh, I love it. His Key and Peele skit is so funny. The substitute teacher.
It's in the Smithsonian, correct?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's brilliant.
I'm pretty sure everyone my age and older too, just like part of my childhood was always saying names wrong because of that skit.
Right. He, and when he came on the show last time, he said, let's do a bit. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to improv with this, like, Second City alumni who's this great sketch writer. And, yeah, he's so funny and such a great guy. So that's good stuff. Let's read some of our social media responses. JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy. Conrad.
Behind the guy.
Yeah. Ed Gein, the musical and the godfather of Green Bay. Oh, boy. Although Tim's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is amazing. And also Daniel Wheeler's Last Witch in Wisconsin and Scary Movie 3. So many options. Boy, JB is a salesman.
That's another comedy, you know, with the scary movies.
He worked a lot of movies into that test. That he has ties to most of them. The Godfather of Green Bay, he doesn't. But that's not, I mean, it wasn't supposed to be scary. I meant it as a comedy. Thank you, JB. Rich LoCascio, WRJN's own Rich LoCascio, says, Ernest Scared Stupid, Army of Darkness. Why do I think Rich might be serious about that Ernest movie?
You know, I've never seen the Ernest movies, so.
They're not scary. They're scary because it's the Hey Vern guy. Hey Vern, you made a whole bunch of bad movies. But they're probably funny if you're in the right mood, I guess. Children's book illustrator Rob Momartz says, Halloween and Halloween 2, the originals. Okay, there you go. Another franchise guy for you, Conrad. My pal Tim Baker says, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein and the original Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is one of those, it was like a scary, funny movie before they really became a thing. But a good film. Richard Vargas on social media says, Young Frankenstein and John Carpenter's The Thing. I always forget about The Thing. That's a really scary movie.
You know, it's a terrifying movie. The Human Centipede. Have you ever seen that or heard about it? No.
What is it?
Do not. Do not.
Why? Is it just gory?
It's
got to be.
Imagine a centipede.
Yeah.
Now imagine.
That's all. You had me at centipede. I'm scared to death of centipedes.
Now imagine bodies forming in the shape of a centipede.
So it's like The Substance with Demi Moore, almost.
It's a really, really, really creepy movie. I had nightmares from that movie.
I don't want to see it. Director, writer, producer John Roach will be here at 6:35, folks. We're going to tell you where you can see his outstanding documentary, A Road at Night. And 7:20, Carl Sarecki from Door County Ghost Trolley Tours joins us. Carl is a lot of fun and will tell us some great ghost stories about Door County. I love it. Every time I go to Door County, I just want to move there. And it's weird because I think that means I'm getting older. Like, I always liked it, but I would never go, oh, I got to move to Door County. But it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
414, Edward says The Fog and the original Halloween. Adrian Barbeau, busty as ever. Radio host in Antonio Bay. Edward. A lot of people have been dropping comments. Was that Edward the other night that talked about the lesbian action in one of those movies? I'm like, what is happening here?
I don't know.
Listen, folks, we'll talk about sex more on the show. Maybe the audience, the couch potatoes are undersexed. Or is it oversexed? I don't know. We'll try to cover sex more. Eliza from Green Bay, she's in the, it's a 513. I think that's Cincinnati.
That's Eliza Cousinart.
Oh, that's Eliza. Yeah. Could be an Australian area code. She says Practical Magic and Sleepy Hollow. I've never seen Practical Magic. Sleepy Hollow is pretty creepy, though. And she says, this is Eliza and I'm right. What does that mean?
That she's right about the films. Well, that's the only options.
I'm not going to fight you, Eliza. Probably lose anyway. Awesome stuff. Thank you, Eliza, for the text. Chris from the 608 says, Obergatlinburg. That's a Tennessee text for Conrad, I think.
Obergatlinburg.
Yeah. You make anything of that?
I don't know. I'm going there, I guess.
You might have to Google it. Maybe Chris is trying to direct you to a fun attraction. 608, Tyler says, Halloween double feature, The Witch with Anna Taylor-Joy and The Wicker Man with the original Sneaky Scary. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I just looked it up. That's the resort I went to when I was younger.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
How did he know that?
I don't know. Maybe it's famous.
Or maybe, yeah, maybe. 414, Jack says, I'm a bit of a sci-fi buff, so my favorite horror movie choices would be The First Alien and Pitch Black with Vin Diesel. First Alien. Forgot about The First Alien. Great movie. Eliza again says, actually, The Babadook. Australian, so I got it. I have not seen that. Let's Google that one too, Con. All right, we'll get to more of your text later. John Roach is going to be here after the news. His documentary, A Road at Night, is so great. We're going to tell you where you can see it. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So glad you're with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
CBS News Brief. An Illinois jury has convicted a former sheriff's deputy of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey, who called 911 for help. CBS's Christian Benavides.
In closing arguments Tuesday, an attorney for the prosecution said the defendant, quote, got annoyed and frustrated. The defendant started to try and control the situation. What he couldn't control was his anger.
The Federal Reserve cut a key interest rate by a quarter point today. Economist Diane Swonk.
The Fed is worried about the labor market. What I'm concerned about as well. I am worried about the labor market, where you've got an economy that produces growth but no jobs.
There is a huge cleanup ahead after Hurricane Melissa slammed into Jamaica.
I didn't even sleep last night. I don't sleep because I'm worried about the people in Jamaica.
The storm is currently accelerating over the Bahamas with high winds and flooding rains and the possibility of a dangerous storm surge through tonight. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
The Bucks beat the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a win at home, 121-111 over the New York Knicks. Another big night for Giannis Antetokounmpo, leading with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. NFL, the Packers and the Steelers game drew 28 million viewers, one of the highest rated games in the history of Sunday Night Football. So what did it mean for Jordan Love to have such a strong performance against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's pretty meaningful. And I think that speaks also to the respect that we have for a guy like Aaron Rodgers and the guys that were here and were able to witness and see what how he would perform, not only on the Sundays, but also, like, you know, in practice and all that. But yeah, Jordan's shown a ton of growth. We have a ton of confidence in him. And I thought he played a complete game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cochimilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds for tonight, a low in the low 30s. A mostly cloudy day ahead for tomorrow, a high right around 50. Maybe a sprinkle or shower Friday, more clouds, highs upper 40s. Cooler temps again on Saturday, warming up for Sunday. Right now it's 53.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:20, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We discuss his lawsuit joining with numerous other attorneys general to restore SNAP funding and make sure Americans don't go hungry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, this is Jamie McShane, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Another great show. Jamie McShane from Task. If you haven't seen Task yet, folks, check it out. Very good show on HBO. He plays the main bad guy, and he's excellent. Great cast, great writing by the same creator of Mare from Easttown. Another great show. All right, so our question of the night, folks, is what is your Halloween double feature? Give me a couple scary movies you'd like to watch back-to-back on a rainy, cold, windy Halloween night. It's just a couple days away. Right now, we are going to turn our attention, though, to a great documentary and a really good guy who is behind that documentary. He's a very accomplished man of production and writing and all kinds of great showbiz achievements he's had the pleasure of doing throughout his career. God, this is really awkward, Conrad. I can't talk tonight. What is the matter with me?
It's okay. You got it. I believe in you.
So drunk. It's my pleasure to welcome Mr. John Roach back to Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Good I'm not drunk. You. I'm buzzed at the moment. Trust me, John, I take this seriously.
Hey, and whatever gets you where you need to go. By the way, mine are non-traditional. Free Solo and Blue Velvet.
Ooh.
Because that cliff haunts my dreams. That film scared the living hell out of me, Free Solo. And then Dennis Hopper haunts my dreams. And then a more traditional horror film, Midsommar, the Norwegian film.
I still have not seen that. I hear it's outstanding.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. I gotta
see that. It's every frame is unsettling.
Really? Yeah. That's on my list. I gotta check that out. They played that. I think that was at the Wisconsin Film Festival as one of their features about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it looked really good.
Given the amount of Norwegians in Wisconsin, that was a smart play.
Exactly. And you have a connection to Blue Velvet because you co-wrote The Straight Story with Mary Sweeney, a David Lynch film,
sure
an outstanding David Lynch film. So great. So, and I think I told you this last time you were here, John, I saw Blue Velvet. I was probably 17 or 18. And I was like, the whole time, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be watching this. Like, it was like, as a kid from a small town or, you know, a small neighborhood, I was like, I couldn't even believe what I was watching. Great movie though.
Well, just Dennis Hopper makes your skin crawl in that film.
Yeah, and there's great humor. Like, I remember Laura Dern had some great lines, too, when she's like, I'll beep the horn 3 times. I'll go 1, 2.
Yeah.
Just that great David Lynch humor.
So how you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's great to have you here, John. And any chance I get to talk about your documentary, A Road at Night, is an absolute thrill because it's
Thank
such
you
a good
so
film.
Much, Pete.
You're very welcome. And I was surprised and happy it's still doing the festival circuit. When I saw it was going to be at Driftless, I got kind of excited. I thought, oh, great, I can have John back on the show. So that's a great venue.
Wonderful. Yeah, we got some good news, and I'm going to have to be a little veiled about it. But we are going to be doing a theatrical run in Madison.
Great.
A famous Wisconsin cinema chain. I have to be... I don't know what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say. So I don't want to, as they say, screw the pooch.
Yeah.
But we are going to be opening in Madison for a week or two, maybe longer. And then they're also looking at Milwaukee and Chicago, because obviously there's a big Badger contingent in Milwaukee and Chicago, because Howard Moore is from Chicago, Mike Finley's from Chicago, Tracy Webster's from Chicago. A lot of the key players in the film are from there.
Yeah.
And Howard was a coach in Chicago at UIC for a while.
Yeah.
We will have some sort of formal announcement, I suspect, coming in the next couple of weeks, which is great because we had a private screening at Union South about a year ago. And then we were lucky enough to be in the Wisconsin Film Festival. And if I may brag on my cohorts, we won the audience favorite award for the festival. So we'll probably fly one of those little fleur-de-lis on our posters.
Yeah. Nice.
And you know, there's a lot of good local stuff there. So to come away with that was pretty good. And then, yeah, the folks at Driftless reached out to us, which I was thrilled because, you know, we worked on the project for 3 years, but the wheels of distribution roll slowly.
Yeah.
So we did reach out to the big streamers and CAA and, you know, the Hollywood game. And we were told there's about a 3-year backlog now in documentaries for the streamers.
Wow.
And we were a humble piece. You know, we weren't episodic. It wasn't sudden. Although it was about a crime, it wasn't a lurid whodunit.
Right.
You know, female in danger type, you know, series, which they love.
Right.
But I think after the theatrical run, which we've been waiting to do that first before we're going to go to Tubi or YouTube-supported advertising, whatever, and throw it out there wide with few impediments to see it. Because at the root of it all is we want to help the Moore family, but also we want what happened to them to happen to fewer people. And there is a component of the greater good in the piece, which is true of a lot of documentaries.
Oh, yeah, totally. So, John, let's talk about that. For those who may have missed your previous appearances here, tell us a little bit about, you know, we talked about Howard Moore, but what is the movie about? Just give us a background.
Sure. So Howard Moore is one of the most beloved University of Wisconsin athletes ever. He was not a big star, but he was a remarkable leader. He had an electric personality, as did his wife, Jennifer. Howard did a stint as an assistant at Wisconsin under Bo Ryan, got a head job at UIC, lost that job, came back to work for Greg Gard and was recruiting for him. Howard recruited Frank Kaminsky and Mike Finley for Wisconsin. He recruited Finley when he was a player and really leaned on the Chicago ties. And then as an assistant coach, he was on Frank Kaminsky very early. And for folks who don't know sports, which this is much more than a sports doc, Frank Kaminsky was the NCAA Basketball Player of the Year in 2015,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was during Wisconsin's 2 Final Four runs. And Howard and his wife, while Howard was an assistant, and their 2 children were taking Memorial Day weekend of 2019 to go visit Jennifer Moore's mother in Detroit. Jennifer's from Detroit, but came to Wisconsin and got in the engineering school. A young woman of color in the engineering school at Wisconsin in the 90s was a rare bird indeed. And they were past Chicago and just outside Ann Arbor. They were hit head on by a drunk driver, a young woman named Samantha Winchester, going the wrong way on what was effectively an interstate. Mm. And it was a turn, so there was very little room to react. Jennifer was driving. And sadly, both Jennifer and their daughter, Jaden, lost their lives in as a horrific way, as you can imagine, because the vehicle was engulfed in flames. Again, this... You know, there's some beauty and a lot of humor, by the way, and a lot of hope in the piece. But but the actual accident is just one, you know, again, the stuff of nightmares. And then Howard had a setback in recovery that was devastating. So but it's also about teammates, the way his teammates came from all over the country to that hospital room and rallied behind Howard and assistant coaches and, you know, the entire UW athletic staff. They were all there to offer consolation and help to the Moore family. And this is about Howard's journey back. And I said very early on, Pete, when I was, you know, it's a weird thing to tell people what your movie's about, right? Because really, at the heart of it, I'd rather have the people watching the movie determine what it's about for themselves. I hate, you know, just as someone who's dabbled in screenwriting, I hate dialogue that illuminates plot. Right.
Right.
I don't like dialogue that says, oh, so we're doing this and we're going to do that.
Right.
It's like shortcutting. Right. And in likewise, I don't want to say too much about the film because I think every film should be an exercise in discovery and the audience, each member of the audience going on their own journey through the story. Right.
Yeah.
And there's some cryptic things in it early on and all. So I don't want to say too much, but in the early goings, I said, well, even though this has to do with basketball players at the University of Wisconsin, it's really not a sports documentary.
Right.
And I, at first I said, it's a documentary about drunk driving. And then I realized it's not even that. It's about how random life can be. And sometimes random and awful.
Right.
And that, You know, all of us who are healthy and whose children are healthy and stuff like that, it just makes you grateful that something like what happened to the Moors has not been visited upon you.
Right.
And so a lot of people said they called their relatives after the film, and in a perverse way, almost, it made them grateful and also obviously just felt great compassion for the Moors.
It's you're right, John. My guest is John Roach. He is the director of the film A Road at Night, a great documentary about Howard and Jennifer Moore and their family. And you're absolutely right, John. But the tragedy in it brings out this beauty. Like you said, teammates rallied around him and flew to his hospital room.
Well, and there's humor. You know, teammates never miss a chance to give each other crap.
Right.
And, you know, there is humor in the ramp up as well. You know, some big belly laughs.
Well,
so, you know, I always say a good film will make you laugh, cry, and think.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The first part of the film, too, is this great, like, you just watch this and you're like this guy who I think you say at one point in the movie only scored 100 points in his whole career,
right,
and was not a big star on the team. But people, he had an electric personality. People were drawn to him, and he went to bat for Frank Kaminsky. And I think it was Greg Gard that said, if you push for Kaminsky, Coach Ryan's going to fire you. He did it anyway.
Right.
He was beloved. And his teammates, 20 years later, after they were teammates, flew to be with him after the accident. That says a lot about a person. So you have all of these uplifting, inspirational things that happen after this tragedy. That, to me, is the beauty of the film.
You know, I can tell you a couple of things that aren't in the film, but show what happened. So one of Howard's teammates was an athlete named Moselle Peterson. Howard is bedridden. He is in a striker bed. If anyone knows what a striker bed is, you see him in hospitals to help turn patients over and everything. Moselle Peterson works for Striker Bed and had one delivered to the Moore's house. Mm. While we were shooting interviews with Howard's mother, father, and his brother, a big semi truck pulls into their driveway and unloads a huge container carton, slides it down with all this mechanical stuff, and they open it up, and it's a hyperbaric chamber that Michael Finley had delivered to the house because with the injuries that Howard had after the accident, hyperbaric chambers force oxygen into your cells and help revitalize them. And Howard was having to get in a van and go down onto campus at the University of Wisconsin, which is a production with his condition. And Mike Finley, God bless him, just said, well, enough of that, and had it delivered to the house. I mean, that's just gobsmacking. It's like,
That's amazing. John, let's pick up right there. We got to do a really short break, and then we'll come back and talk more about A Road at Night. The director, John Roach, is here, and we'll tell you where you can see it next. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right?
does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me. It's a beautiful Wednesday night here in downtown Green Bay and all over the state of Wisconsin, which is where we are broadcasting. So wherever you're joining us from, it's great to have you. I'm talking with John Roach, a guy who's had just a really interesting career, and his latest project is A Road at Night. I had the opportunity to interview John on PBS Wisconsin on Director's Cut, and first learned of this film there, and have gotten to know John since, and I just love this movie, and I recommend, if you're in the Driftless area, November 6th, John?
It's November 8th, Saturday night, November 8th.
November 8th, okay. Check out this film.
It's at the Mineral Point. You know, Driftless area is just,
yeah.
I'm a sucker for that part. I baled hay on a farm in Barneveld in high school to get in shape for football for 3 summers. Wow. And that's at the gateway to the Driftless area. And
wouldn't it have been easier just not to play football?
I played before they even had weights.
So you had to do something, yeah.
Yeah, but they contacted us, thankfully, and it's in the Mineral Point Opera House. We were at two other film festivals after the Madison Film Festival, the Beloit Film Festival and the Dubuque Film Festival, and they were really kind of test screenings. But, you know, these small towns and their film festivals, it's the most endearing thing.
Yeah.
Dubuque is a remarkably cool town. And they screened our film in the opera house there. And it's like, man, if this place could talk.
Yeah.
And likewise with Mineral Point, there was that era where everyone had an opera house. So And it's timely because there'll be a little buzz from the Driftless Film Festival. And then my partners on the film, George Hamill, Tim Valentine, and Heather Garrison, we've all been slogging along trying to figure out this distribution thing. And George is a wonderful philanthropist for the University of Wisconsin. He helped build the new music school. And he served on the Comm Arts Board with Sean Hannish. And Sean had Just a Bit Outside, which was a great local doc and had a great run in Milwaukee. It was about the 82 Brewers, timely for this year for the Brewers run.
Definitely.
And so he came up with a really good little, you know, more than little, regional run. And what's interesting is that these major theater chains, especially with the advent of streaming, COVID took their legs out from beneath them, but they're more open now to running what Roger Ebert used to call wood-burning cinema, local films. And so Sean's been helping him and his partner, Kelly Call, they've been helping us out. They distributed the Packer movie about the Packer fans.
Yeah, No Packers, No Life.
Right. And I was with that director on your show.
Oh, Craig Benzine. That's right.
Head of the film festival. Sure. Yeah. He was a great guy. So Sean is helping us get that together. So it's going to be in February or March. I don't know what the date is. And
I really hope people get to see this, John. It's such a great film. And my last question for you about this, and I hope, can we keep you for a few minutes through the news?
Of course.
Okay.
Pete, I feel like I'm having Malort with you at the corner bar.
Well, I was joking about being drunk before, but that would be fun.
I know.
That would be fun to have a beer with you, John. Yeah. So let me ask you this. How did you, I'm sure you heard about the accident. You knew who Howard Moore was, but what was it? Or how did you find this project in terms of, like, a documentary can take minimum, maybe 2 years of your life, but probably more. What made you decide to throw yourself into this particular project?
Well, it's friendship. Tim Valentine, who represented Bo Ryan, Paul Crist, he represents Greg Gard as an attorney, and he's a dear friend. Our kids played basketball together. You know, our wives are friends. We're just buddies. We're separated at birth. So Tim and George are good friends. And one of the most awful things about what happened to the Moore family is it happened to them right before COVID. So he had this terrible accident and incredibly challenging health issues. And the whole world was dark for 2 years, and COVID sucked all the oxygen out of the air, almost literally. And when people came back, George Hamill, who's an avid Wisconsin fan, said to Tim, when people started getting together, he said, "How is Howard?" And Tim, God bless him, he has been doing pro bono legal work for the Moores for 5 years to help them with an incredible amount of stuff that happens when you have someone as egregiously injured as Howard.
Right.
And there's estates for Jennifer, and it was just overwhelming. And so Tim told George that Howard was in a very challenging condition. And George said immediately, "Well, we have to do something." And then we have to communicate this to the university community and Wisconsin community at large. And so then Tim said, "Let's call Rochi."
Nice.
So Tim and George came to me and I said, "Well, first of all, this isn't a 4-minute fundraising video. I think this is a doc." And I, you know, Pete, you know, I did a show in Chicago called The Sports Writers on TV, which was four guys smoking cigars around a table.
Great show.
And it was a little bit of a, you know, pioneered sports talk, which is kind of not that great of a claim to fame. But one thing I learned with that show is that sports is at its best when it transcends sports.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson and AIDS. And so this story, even though sports is kind of the launching pad, is much bigger. And so I knew that it would be there were a lot of elements there. And then we were motivated to help Howard, very simply. The Moores needed help.
Very well said, John. And the project is outstanding. It's a great film. We're going to have we're going to keep John. And I'm going to ask John when we come back about that trend setting show. He just mentioned the sports writers on TV. We'll do that when we come back. And we'll remind you where you can see A Road at Night. That's all in Act Two after intermission here as we cut to the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. An Illinois jury has convicted a former sheriff's deputy of second-degree murder in the shooting death of Sonia Massey, a black woman who called 911 for help. Sean Grayson's attorneys had argued he feared she would harm him with a pan of hot water she was handling. Reporter Brandon Morano was in the courtroom when the verdict came down.
He was sitting quietly when the verdict was read, did not move, didn't really react to it. His family, after it was read, could be heard sobbing right behind us. We were sitting right in front of them. Massey's family could be seen putting their heads in their hands and consoling each other.
He had been charged with first-degree murder. CBS's Anna Schechter believes the jury was convinced he felt threatened.
Second-degree murder charges, why is that important? Sentencing guidelines are completely different. He could face up to 20 years in prison instead of up to life in